Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. As we do, I encourage you to take a moment to ask God to open your heart and speak to you this morning. Pray for those around you that God might speak to them as well. Come, Holy Spirit, speak your word among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As I prayed about this sermon, I was drawn to the epistle reading where the Apostle Paul talks about the Holy Spirit and knowing the mind of Christ. The scripture passage suggests that in life, we are invited to more than merely knowing about God, but that as Christians, we can know God in a very intimate and personal manner. In addressing such a topic, I want to share with you personally this morning, because I believe it's important that you realize that what I'm preaching about this morning is not some abstract, distant, theoretical concept for me, but something that I myself am living and experiencing. In other words, I'm not telling you to do something that I've never experienced. There are, of course, a couple of dangers in this. I might come off sounding like I want you to think that I'm really spiritual, or that I think I'm holier than thou, or you might think that such experiences are only for really spiritual people, like ordained ministers. But my purpose in sharing these is to encourage you that what St. Paul is talking about is real and possible for everyone. My goal is to inspire you this morning to seek a greater experience of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't think that I'm somehow different because I'm ordained clergy. I am just an imperfect human being like everyone else, and I'm on a journey. For many years, even when I was beginning my ministry, I was so much more focused on learning and teaching on subjects related to knowing about God rather than actually experiencing God. It's been a journey for me. I make mistakes. I forget to listen. I sin. I go off track. All the kinds of things that human beings struggle with. but I also have had amazing, tangible, vivid experiences of God. And I believe from the bottom of my heart that you can also. So wherever you are on your own faith journey this morning, I urge you to seek God for more. It's been my personal experience that you can intellectually believe in God. You can be a churchgoer. You can know about God. You can even pray and read scripture, but still not know God in your life. Until we're ready to listen to God, really listen, until we're ready for the power of God to be active in our lives, until we ask for it, seek it, knock at the door, God will wait. In recent years, I've been learning through trial and error, sometimes getting it wrong to be sure, sometimes forgetting to listen and pay attention, but gradually, I've been learning to discern with greater clarity what the Spirit of God within me is saying. I know this can sound a little crazy. He thinks God speaks to him? Well, yes, I do. Just not quite in the same way as Moses at the burning bush or Mary with the angel Gabriel, but I do know the Spirit of God at work in me, guiding, speaking, reassuring, promising, and directing me. And sometimes it is very clear. Let me give you an example. Back in October, my son Stephen flew home on the same flight three Thursday nights in a row for auditions in New York City. The first week, Joy came to me and she said, "Pray that Stephen's flight will be on time." Now, I've been working on praying in faith and saying thank you in advance to God for the answer to my prayer. So I started praying and saying, "Thank you, God, that Stephen's flight is going to be on time." But I stopped because I had this feeling that his flight was not going to be on time. I felt like the flight was going to be late, not a lot late, just a little late, like 15 minutes or so. So I began praying, "Thank you, God, that Stephen's flight is only going to be a few minutes late." And actually, Stephen's flight was a few minutes late. Week two, Joy came to me again and said, "Pray that Stephen's flight will be on time." And I started thanking God in prayer that Stephen's flight was going to be on time, but again I stopped, because I got this really strong feeling that the flight was not going to be on time. In fact, it was going to be very late. And what went through my mind at that moment was an experience Stephen had last year when he left his suit on the train on the way into New York City and had a really difficult time getting that suit and getting to the audition on time. He ran in at the very last minute, but then he sang a really great audition. And so I started praying, thanking God that even though Stephen's flight was going to be really late, God would use that to help him have another great audition. And guess what? His flight was really late. His luggage took forever to come out, and the next day the trains were shut down from Gladstone. He barely made it to his audition, and he sang a great audition. Third week, Joy came to me and said, "Pray that Stephen's flight will be on time." And this time she added, "But I don't think it's going to be, because these high winds are delaying almost all the flights." And so I started thanking God that Stephen's flight was going to be on time, and I had this sense that it was going to be on time. Worst weather of all 3 weeks, and Stephen's flight was right on time. Now, you can make of that what you will, but I believe that as I was praying in faith, the Holy Spirit within me was directing me how to pray. The Spirit was guiding my prayers and giving me discernment as to what was going to happen. These were real, tangible experiences of the Holy Spirit. So I share my prayers about Stephen's flights, hoping that they will inspire you. It takes practice. It takes trial and error to learn to recognize when the Spirit is prompting you. But you do have the Spirit within you. You have the mind of Christ, as Paul says. You simply have to learn to listen, to tune the radio of your heart to the frequency of the Spirit of God within you. I have these kinds of experiences on a regular basis, and it's not just me. Such experiences have been common for Christians throughout the ages. We hear of it primarily in the stories of famous Christians in church history, But I think that's partly because we only have the stories of famous Christians in church history. We don't have the stories of the everyday Christians. You see it in the people of God in the early church. Just look at the book of Acts. You see it in times and places throughout church history, such as in the Celtic church. Millions of Christians in a variety of cultures throughout the ages have had experiences of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what Paul is saying this morning when writing to the Corinthians. You could summarize our epistle reading this morning as Paul saying this to us. Don't settle for anything less than the power of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. The Corinthians were wealthy merchants living in a prosperous city on a key trade route, and they loved to learn about the latest fashions, the latest trends, the best religions, and the most up-to-date and impressive methods of rhetoric. And in Corinth, there were factions. We read about that a couple of weeks ago. Everyone was lining up behind a leader. Some followed Paul. Some said, I follow Apollos. And some were the holy, really holy ones, the Christ party. But part of what was driving those factions was a hunger for the newest, trendiest, most impressive teaching. They wanted to be in the know on the latest trends in theology, even Christian theology. And apparently, Paul wasn't very impressive in person. His style was not using popular, trendy rhetorical devices. He wasn't incorporating the latest news and wisdom of the day. He was speaking something that many considered foolish or even offensive. He was just giving them Jesus. Just Jesus. Not a lot of packaging, not a lot of flattery. He wasn't appealing to their sense of wanting to be in with the latest, most impressive, sophisticated theology. He wasn't appealing to their egos. He was just giving them Jesus. He says, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But Paul had one thing that the others did not. Paul was coming with the power of God. The Holy Spirit was with Paul. You can read story after story of the miraculous ways that God was working through Paul in the book of Acts, healing people, receiving visions, and miraculously surviving in perilous circumstances. And so in this passage, Paul writes, "My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God." When the heart of someone considering the good news of Jesus Christ is attuned and open to hearing from God, when the person listens, is ready to listen, ready to seek the presence of God, the message of Jesus Christ, in all its apparent foolishness and simplicity, comes with power. There is power of conviction, of signs and wonders, of an inner life transformation, of an inner voice speaking, guiding, and leading. Paul says, we have been given the Spirit of God. He says, you know, with someone, you look at them on the outside, and you can't really know what's going on in their mind on the inside. They can fool you. People can look impressive in how they dress. They can be very up to date with the latest fashions. They can impress you with who they know, the famous, influential, and important people. They can impress you with what they know, the things they've read, the wisdom that everyone in the present moment believes is on the cutting edge. But you don't really know who they are or what they're thinking on the inside. Only their own spirit within them knows, and of course, God knows. In this context, the implication of what Paul is saying is that you can have all the latest fashionable liturgy. You can have the most beautiful music, wonderful hymns, the most impressive sermons that reference the latest news and trends in theology. You can have beautiful stained glass windows and buildings, have quite an impressive pageantry of religion. You can even have a PhD in theology and know all kinds of things. You can have all of that and still not know God. You can see what God looks like on the outside through those things. You can have all of that and only know about God, not know God. And Paul says the spirit within knows the mind of a person, and so it is with the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. The Spirit comes in power, and we simply have to have faith and listen. And Paul says we are taught by the Spirit, given the gifts of the Spirit, and then led to know the mind of Christ. Paul says we don't have to have the wisdom of this age. We have the Spirit that connects us with the power and personality of God. And so the implication this morning is simple. Don't settle. Don't settle for anything less than the mind of Christ and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't settle for worship, as wonderful as I think our worship is. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for the latest trendy book on theology and spirituality that you have read. Don't settle for sermons that try to impress you with how clever the preacher is or what he or she knows. Don't settle for any of the trappings of religion, however good or helpful they may be. No, you settle for just one thing. The mind of Christ, just Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming on you in new and powerful and fresh ways. That is what Paul is promising, nothing less. Don't settle for less. Just as Jesus called upon us to ask, to seek, to knock, just as he promised no less than 6 times in the scriptures that when we ask God in faith, he will give it to us. So don't settle for the spiritual life you have. Ask God for more. Ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in you so that you too, with Paul, can say, we have the mind of Christ. You know God. Don't doubt that you can. Believe it. Have faith. Don't you want this? Don't you want more of God in your life? Don't you want a vital, living, dynamic, interactive relationship with God where you sense him speaking to you, leading you, reassuring you, calling you by name, and saying to you that you are forgiven through the cross and you are loved more deeply than you can possibly imagine? The potential is more than we can imagine. That's what Paul says. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, or heart ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. No human wisdom can tell. Only God knows what he has prepared for those who love him. So are you ready to listen? Ready for this? Do you want more of God in your life? Then why not ask him right now? I'm going to close in prayer this morning, and I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come among us, and I invite you as I pray, if you wish, close your eyes. Let's not look around at each other. Just close your eyes and get in a posture that's receptive to God. You might turn your palms upward as if your hands are receiving something, and I invite you, as I pray, in the quietness of your own heart, to say, come, Holy Spirit. Invite the Spirit of God to fill you, to come breathing through you, blowing the winds of God within you, and giving you the gifts of the Holy Spirit, nothing less than the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Praise you, O God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. I pray that you would make your presence known in each and every heart this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and our minds. Come, Holy Spirit. pour out your gifts upon us. Come, Holy Spirit. Let us each grow in experiencing you. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak your word into our hearts. Touch us with your love. Do all that you would do in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us. Transform our hearts. Transform our lives. May it be to the praise of your glorious grace. And we pray it all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please rise while we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.